Hello, church. Whether you're here in the auditorium with us or you're watching online, welcome. We're so glad you're here. We're in a series focusing in on the Spirit. We've talked already about being empowered, this idea of praying in the Spirit, talked about transformation. And tonight we're going to talk about gifts. The series will go on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the role of the Spirit in our lives when it comes to suffering. But I want us to think for a moment about this idea of purpose. Our purpose. And the fear that many people have of potentially missing their purpose. There was a consultant, and she was curious about people's fears. And so she asked people, tons of people, what are you afraid of? And there were all kinds of standard responses. I'm afraid of dying alone. I'm afraid of losing my job. I'm afraid of speaking in public. Some of you might be able to relate to that. But interestingly enough, of all the people that she asked this, 20% of them expressed a fear of missing their purpose. One person put it this way: my greatest fear would be missing out on my purpose here on earth. I know I have a purpose that I am not yet serving. Purpose. It's actually a huge topic. And yet, in our Christian tradition, the concept of purpose has been distilled down to a simple yet powerful statement. It comes from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It's a collection of 107 questions that believers would study and learn the answers to as a way of creating a foundation for their faith. The very first question is this: what is the chief end of man? And the answer was simply this: to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It's the purpose question. We express it in our church, in our family, as this idea of having a life that honors God. So we're going to look at the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to see how the work of Christ is formed in us through the power of the Spirit, how we honor God through our work and our ministry. Is this really a thing? Is this something we should be focused on? Absolutely. In Ephesians 2:10, we see this beautiful passage. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. His handiwork. Good works. It's such a beautiful concept. In other translations, it talks about the idea that we are His masterpiece, that we're His work of art. And this is a verse for each one of us. No Christ follower is excluded. You've heard the quote, perhaps. There are two great moments in a person's life. The moment you were born and the moment you discover why you were born. Why you were born. See, you were made on purpose for a purpose, to honor God with your life. And as it relates to work, to serving, how does this actually show itself? Well, there's a couple of ways. The first is simply us living out the principles of the Scriptures. All kinds of things that God calls us to in order that our lives might honor Him. They're general. They apply to all of us. It's fulfilling the great commandment, loving God and loving others. The great commission, going. It's this idea of sharing our faith. Even what we've been talking about in the service already, about this notion of giving. None of us gets a pass on these things. But there are also specific things, things that apply to each one of us uniquely. And this is what we're going to be talking about when we reflect on this idea of the gifts of the Spirit. So let's see what Paul had to say about that in our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read the first 11 verses. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And then when you go down to verse 28, it says this, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Now, you may sit there and you go, okay, now, that's quite a list. You may be going, could we just stop for a second? Help me understand, what is a spiritual gift? Well, I want to define it in a really simple way for us. It's a divine endowment of a special ability for service upon each member of the body of Christ. Let me say that again. It is a divine endowment of a special ability for service upon each member of the body of Christ. Now, let's go back to our text for a moment. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. This is a concern for Paul. For you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, verse 3 says, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. See, the Spirit always points us to Jesus. He leads us to honor God, and when God is being dishonored, you can rest assured that that activity does not find its source in the Spirit of God. Now, look at verses 4, 5, and 6 for a moment. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Do you see the pattern here? There are different gifts. There's different types of service. There are different kinds of working. There's graces in the gifts. There's servant focus in the serving. There's this idea of power and energy. And yet it's all coming from the same source. The same Spirit distributes them. They come from the same Lord. The same God is at work. So on the one hand, you see this tremendous creativity of God, our uniqueness. And yet in our differences, we all come to the same source for our spiritual power. Everyone receives their giftedness. Everyone receives that capacity for service. Everyone receives that power from the same God. It's interesting to me that in this text, it lays it out in a beautiful way to show the power and the form of the Trinity. The Spirit, the Lord, God at work. It goes on in verse 7 to say this. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. And these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So again, Paul makes the point clear. They all come from the same Spirit. But I want you to notice something. In verse 7 and in verse 11, Paul says something very important. Now to each one, he says in verse 7. And then in verse 11, he distributes them to each one. He takes this list of gifts and he bookends it with the reality that everyone has at least one. This is significant. For those of you that would like to deflect away God's gifting in your life, he repeats it for emphasis. Each one. Hello. This means you. You are gifted. You have one or more gifts. Now, some of you may not believe that. Oh, I'm not gifted. Oh, friend, listen to the Spirit of God as he affirms to you your giftedness. Some of you may believe your contribution's too small. It just doesn't matter. You've bought the lie that you are insignificant. Well, to you, I would simply quote an African proverb. If you think you are too small to make a difference, try spending the night in a closed room with a mosquito. I rest my case. So let's go back to this list of gifts. See, here we've read in 1 Corinthians 12 this list, but it's only a partial list of the gifts. And so you're going to have to go and get into your Bible, and I'm going to give you several other passages that you need to look at. First is Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. Because there again, there are more gifts mentioned. Ephesians 4, verses 7 to 13 talks about this as well. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Places where you can see this expansive list of gifts. Now, people debate a little bit about, well, how many gifts are there? Some people call this one the same as this one. Some people call it different. Some people pull some things out of the Old Testament and say that people had the gift of craftsmanship. So there's variance in the number of gifts. But the reality is that there is a significant number of gifts that God has dispensed into the body of Christ. Here's a few: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, apostles, teachers, helps, administration, service, exhortation, giving, leadership, showing of mercy, evangelists, and pastors. And in 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, the writer there helps us understand by breaking them up into a couple of categories. Listen to what he says. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This idea that gifts really come down into a couple of categories. There are speaking gifts and there are serving gifts. And so when you begin to think about yours, you'll be able to distinguish where they fit in the midst of all of that. Now, we believe that all of these gifts are still at play, that God is working and he is endowing people with these gifts. And I want you to remember that you're a masterpiece. You're a work of art. And when you became a Christian, God gifted you to make a contribution to the body of Christ. This giftedness is where God shows up powerfully in you. We'll talk in a few minutes about how you can discover your gifts. if you don't know what they are already. When it comes to serving, our gifts help us discover what we were made for. They point us towards that purpose. And the reality is that the world is depending on us to show up in the power of the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to impact the body and the world through us as we serve with these God-given gifts. Now, there's a concern, there's a challenge, there's a danger that we need to be thinking about, because it's entirely possible that how we serve will lack the power that God intended for us to experience. We can choose to work and to serve in our own strength. And Paul warns us of the dire consequences of this earlier in this letter to the Corinthians. I want to read a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. Listen to these words. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to the light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive the reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. The reality is that we can have different sources of our work. We can muscle it out in our flesh, or we can allow the Spirit of God to empower it. Listen to what A.W. Tozer says about this. I say that a Christian congregation can survive and often appear to prosper in the community by the exercise of human talent and without any touch from the Holy Spirit. All that religious activity, and the dear people will not know anything better until that great and terrible day when our self-employed talents are burned with fire, and only that which was wrought by the Holy Spirit will stand forever. That's a very sobering thought, isn't it? Hay, wood, and stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. Work done in the flesh versus work done in the Spirit. Jesus amplified this for us. We've talked about this passage many times. John 15, remain in me and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We must function in the power and the gifting of the Holy Spirit to see our purpose realized. Now, the culture that we live in, its values war against this. It's important for us to recognize, because in our culture, it's all about me. Whereas the biblical value is that we should be thinking about the other person. In our culture, it's selfishness versus the biblical value of selflessness. In our culture, it's independence versus the biblical value of interdependence. See, the Bible, when we think about gifts, we have to make sure that we don't make the mistake of just thinking about me and my gift, because the gifts are connected together. And the Bible is calling us to move from I to we. See, in our individual bent in Western culture, we miss the importance of the we. We miss the Spirit-empowered church bringing all that God intended to the world, because they so desperately need to see His transforming power. Reminds me of Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. It's interesting that in each of the major passages on gifts, that they are actually embedded in the context of the body. If you read the rest of 1 Corinthians 12, it's focusing on the body. And it expands on this. Romans 12 does as well. And there are two vantage points from which we need to look at this. The first is the idea of the body missing gifts. See, there are profound implications when Christ followers don't know their gifts or choose not to contribute to the body by using those gifts. Dawn and I were talking about this week, and I was asking her some questions around cooking. And I was saying, okay, so what would be a little ingredient that if you forgot to put it into something, that would be a big problem? You know, so she rattled off a few things, but she said, oh, no, you should tell him this story. And so she reminded me of when we were first married and we were young. And she showed up at this women's event where everybody had to bring something. And so she brought a pumpkin pie. The way she baked the pumpkin pie is she went and got the can of pumpkin. Yep. She put it in. She baked it. And she took it. Now, I got to tell you, my wife is an incredible cook and baker. But we all learn from our mistakes, right? And so she hadn't put in the ginger, the cinnamon, the egg. She hadn't put the salt in, the brown sugar, any of it. It was just can of pumpkin, bake, take it. Now, part of me would have liked to have seen kind of how that would have played out at that meeting, right? But the reality is when some of the ingredients are missing, things, it's a mess, right? I think of some of you play baseball. I play in a baseball league where if you don't have everybody on your team show up, you can still play. The problem with that, of course, is on defense now, you have holes in your defense. You don't have enough people to cover all the positions. Maybe you're missing one player, so the trade-off, okay, maybe we won't have a rover, maybe we'll go back from shortstop to second. It's really challenging to win a baseball game when one or two of your people have not showed up. But it even gets worse because what happens is you have to still keep the 10 positions in the lineup. And every time that ninth or 10th position shows up in the lineup and there's nobody there, it's an automatic out. Really difficult to win a baseball game when not everybody shows up. The reality is that we find ourselves in the same place in the church. It's a big, big challenge. See, church and ministry are a team sport, and your gifts are essential for the body to function as God created it. I read something from the Harvard Business Review. It was actually staggering to me. It was a statistic. I kind of like statistics. Between 2005 and 2011, $41 billion in gift cards went unused. $41 billion. Now, we may be shocked by that, but friends, how much more shocking is it when the gifts of God go missing in the church? This is something that we really need to think through. See, these illustrations drive home the point that we need each other. We don't have all the gifts. Nobody has all the gifts. You need other people to show up and to live out the gifts that you do not possess, so that together we express the full reality of what God designed us to be. See, a life that honors God and serves His kingdom purposes requires both what we bring and what we depend on others to bring. It's that interdependence. It's the beauty of the we. Remember verse 7? Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. This is the power of the body. The biblical value is that we are a body interconnected, making a contribution and needing the contributions of others. I love this quote from Alan Redpath. He described it this way. We are not a mass of individual units, but a body completely identified with His in His death and resurrection, completely united in our spiritual life, in our ministry of redemption, in the whole purpose for which we were left here. We are not a mass of individual units, a body connected to each other and all surrendered to the headship of Christ, relying on His power and his leading so that his purposes are accomplished, so that our lives honor him. We use a simple tool around here. It's called the shape test. And it's a thing that you can just click on a link. You can go and take this quick survey, and it helps you understand what your purpose is. And shape actually stands for something. The S is for spiritual gifts. The H is for your heart, for its passions. The A is for abilities. The P is for personality. And the E is for experiences. Because we need to know our spiritual gifts. But two people can have the same gift of service, and it will show up in a very different way based on their passions, their abilities, their personality, and their experiences. So getting to know our shape helps us understand what God is calling us to in terms of purpose. If you're working off the app, you can click on the resources. The link is there. You can go to the website, and it's there. You can text volunteer to our main number, 403-252-7572. And one of the things that will come back to you is a place where you can take the shape test. And then what I would encourage you to do is don't just take it by yourself. Talk about it with a friend, a family member. Do it together as a small group. It's incredible. See, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He doesn't waste anything. And the amazing thing is that as his children, he gives us spiritual gifts that enable us to engage, serve, and contribute in ways that go way beyond what we would have been capable of in our own strength, both as individuals and, more importantly, together as the body of Christ. One of the things we often talk about when it comes to spiritual gifts is kind of the evidence of them at work in and through us. And we talk about it this way. We recognize that when the Spirit of God is working powerfully through us, his body, there will in fact be power. You'll be able to sense it. You will be able to see it. There will be power, but there will also be fruit, and there will also be great joy. See, God's power will be evident as he works in and through the unique design of each one of us. And as he lives that out in us together as the body of Christ. Where the Spirit is at work, there will be fruit. Remember, abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. And joy. Joy that comes from seeing God using us the way he shaped us. Joy as we see our purpose being realized. Joy as we live lives that honor him. Power, fruit, and joy, it's the unmistakable attributes of a life lived according to God's purposes for our lives. Oh, friends, you show me a person. You show me a church where they are functioning in the power of the Spirit, where their gifts are being used, and I will show you a people and place punctuated by power and by fruit and by joy. We can't truly honor God without this being our reality. Earlier, we watched that beautiful depiction of an artist creating this wonderful piece of art, depicting and portraying the different gifts, the synergy of colors working together to create something so beautiful. Wasn't that powerful? But I want you to stop. I want you to remember that image most powerfully represents us, God's people. You are his masterpiece, his work of art. Collectively, we are his masterpiece, his work of art. It is so important for us to embrace this because when we live out the good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do, that masterpiece is put on display, and he is honored. Oh, friends, I want us to bow for a moment before Jesus. And I would encourage you with me to make a fresh commitment. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time, to live out of our giftedness, to live in the power of the Spirit together for the glory of God. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we're profoundly impacted by the reality that not only do you love us, not only have you invited us into your family, but that you have created a masterpiece, a work of art. And you're inviting us to be part of that. We need to be part of that. And so, Father, I pray for each one of us that knows you, that we would stop for a moment and just reflect on whether or not we know what our part is. And Father, if the answer is no, that we would go and we would take that opportunity to discover that, to share in that with others, and that we would begin to exercise that gift in all its power. So Father, we commit ourselves afresh to living in this power of the Spirit, to serving you out of our giftedness, to being on display. And oh, friend, if you're listening to this and it's occurred to you, it's struck you that I'm not part of that body. I don't have a part to play because I don't know Jesus. And even now, he's wooing you to himself. He's inviting you to come to him. Oh, why don't you take advantage of that opportunity right now and just simply pray this prayer with me. Oh, Holy God, I bow in your presence and I confess that I have not been living for you. I have not been serving you. I've been going my own way. I've been doing my own thing. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I want to turn from living life my way, and I want to follow you. So I invite you into my life right now as Savior. I surrender my life to you as Lord, and I thank you that even in this moment, you are drawing me into that beautiful masterpiece. And that there's a part for me to play. Oh, thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Now, friends, we're so glad that you're here with us. And if you need prayer, there will be a number on the screen, and you can simply text the word prayer to that number, 403-252-7572. And we will connect with you and we would love to pray with you. If you're here in the auditorium, in a couple of moments, we'll be dismissed. And we would just encourage you to wait and let the ushers come and dismiss you in a way that keeps us in step with all of the guidance. But before we go, whether you're here or you're online, I want to give you a benediction that I hope will ring in our hearts and take us into the days and the weeks and the months ahead. And the benediction is simply this: wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose in your being right where you are. Christ, who indwells you by the power of his Spirit, wants to do something in and through you. Believe this and go in his grace, his love, and his power. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.